Time once again for Medical Monday right here on eRadio, and as always joined by ophthalmologist Dr. Dylan Joseph. And last week we were outside the eye with laser vision correction. Today we're going inside the eye and talking about the true definition of cataract surgery. Dr. Joseph, hello, how are you?
How's it, Jan? Very good, very well, thank you. We've just completed a great cataract list this morning and a laser list this afternoon. So, you know, a Wednesday where I can get to involve myself with my passion is a good Wednesday. So, looking forward to showing you and discussing the alternatives to laser vision correction.
Yes, of course. And then today, the true definition of cataract surgery. Let's just quickly start way at the beginning for those who missed it. What exactly is a cataract?
The lens inside the eye is very similar to a lens inside a spectacle. But this lens in the eye has the ability to change shape. And this lens lies just behind the colored part of our eye, called the iris, and in the middle of the iris you've got the pupil, and the pupil is where the light rays travel through. So as they've gone through the pupil, they go through the lens, and the lens has this amazing ability to change its shape to allow the light rays to fall perfectly on the back of the eye depending on the distance that we're looking at. So whether it's reading a cell phone, reading a computer or desktop, or looking into the distance, this lens, while we're young, has that ability to either become very thin or pretty round to allow us to read. So as we start hitting our 40s, mid-40s, early 50s, we start undergoing a process called dysfunctional lens syndrome. So where this lens actually itself starts stiffening up, becomes a little bit harder, where the muscles become a little stiffer. Remember I talked about being able to do only 100 repetitions of a biceps curl at the gym before your muscles start to take strain. Not just dissimilar to that is the way the muscles around the lens function. So that lens has a set lifespan, or the muscles around it have a set lifespan before they start saying, hey, listen, I can't pick up these weights anymore. And essentially our arms become too short. And that's when the lens starts dysfunctioning. It's not per se cataract, but it's the very early stages of the lens starting to change. So we'll discuss a little later the options of replacing this human lens when it's dysfunctional, because we don't have to necessarily wait until it becomes a cataract before we replace it. But once we hit our 50s and 60s, once we get to what we call grade 3 dysfunctional lens syndrome, this lens starts taking on a different hue, a different color. So from all the ultraviolet exposure that we go through, and if you're a smoker as well, it often hardens the lens a lot more prematurely. So yeah, that lens becomes yellow-brown earlier. And it's like putting a filter in front of your camera, a brown filter in front of your lens. You're going to filter out a lot of the good light. And your image quality that you take, or your picture that you're going to take, is going to be substandard. The quality of the image is not going to be great. Now, very interestingly, the brain has an amazing ability to compensate for that decrease in vision quality, or compensate for the contrast loss or the loss of color, especially if it happens at a very similar rate in both eyes. So if your vision quality is degrading over time and it's happening at a similar rate in your left and your right eye, the brain has the ability to just say, okay, well, this must be normal. Let's carry on as normal. And then you keep on wearing your spectacles until you get to a point where now you're cleaning your specs more and more, you're turning up the bedside light to see a little bit better, and people say, hey, hang on, my night vision is not great anymore. I'm starting to see glare and halos around oncoming lights, which I never experienced. And this is when you start developing what is called a cataract. And that's clinically significant. So as a refractive surgeon, and I tell all my patients two things. Oh, I get them to answer two questions when they are ready for cataract surgery. One, do you want to improve your vision quality? And is this going to improve your quality of life? And secondly, do you want to reduce your dependency on spectacles or contact lenses if you wear them? So that makes the journey or the questioning process a lot more simple for the patient to answer, rather than, you know, waiting for a cataract to mature to the point where we've got serious visual loss. A patient can now make those choices themselves. Do they want to improve their vision? Do they want to reduce their dependence on specs and contacts?
So now, Dr. Joseph, people come to you and let's say, for example, they've got a cataract. What exactly, okay, now you're going to perform surgery. What exactly is it? How does it work?
So the surgery is done nowadays under conscious sedation, which means you have the drip up, you're nice and drowsy. We put lots of numbing drops onto your eye. I think people's fear around cataract surgery is that it's going to be sore, one, that it's going to be uncomfortable, and two, that how on earth are they going to keep their eyes open? It's the same that we said about laser vision correction last week. Those things you do not need to worry about at all. We look after you from a pain perspective, and we keep your eye open. So conscious sedation really keeps you on a bit of a level, a trip, so to speak, as so that you don't feel pain. And it also, the medication that our anesthetists use have the ability to take away your short-term memory. So people don't associate the experience as negative. And then they often say that they're looking forward to their second eye being done. So it's all done under topical anesthesia drops. So no injections around the eye, no needles around the eye. Over 55, 60, we tend to stay away from general anesthesia anyway because the associated risks are a little higher, especially if you have what we call comorbidity. So high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, heart problems. So we'd far prefer to keep you awake. And at the end of the day, people sail through the surgery and the recovery is exceptionally quick. So, you know, the next day we see you in the clinic, we give you a schedule of drops to use for 3 to 4 weeks, and you're up and away and back to your normal routine.
Yeah, that's amazing, eh? Now, next question is, what is customized lens exchange?
Let's go back a little bit to the dysfunctional lens syndrome age, which is generally in your 40s and early 50s. But prior to that, in your 30s and 20s, the lens is essentially clear and it's functioning very well. Okay, medical aids will fund a procedure when there is cataract development or clouding of that lens. Prior to that, they don't fund that. And that then becomes the patient's responsibility or the patient's account. So when we're looking at customized lens exchange, we're essentially removing a normal human lens, but substituting it for a technology that will allow you to be free in most circumstances, if not all, of spectacles and or contact lenses. So when a person is perhaps not a candidate for a laser vision correction procedure, or they're not a candidate for an implantable contact lens procedure, we then can look towards options which are replacing the human lens. And in certain conditions, it's actually better to consider human lens replacement surgery rather than laser vision correction or implantable lenses. For example, people that have got very short, crowded eyes, they run risks in the future that the pressure might suddenly rise in the eye. Now, when we look at the diameter of the, well, not diameter, the thickness of a lens from front to back, it's about 4 millimeters on average. And when we remove this, we replace it with a 1 millimeter thick lens, which essentially decompresses that space. So it reduces a number of risks in patients that have perhaps narrow eyes or short eyes and that could end up with high pressure rises. So there's a number of indications for removing that human lens. And when we remove it, we can look at certain technologies in the lenses then to say, okay, well, are we going to target distance? Are we going to target computer, near, a combination of the above? That's a discussion that we'll get into just now. But a customized lens exchange procedure is where we remove the human lens when there is no cataract present. But these are alternatives to laser vision correction to still give you the same, if not a very similar result.
Next question, what lens technologies have you got available when considering these surgeries?
That depends very much on a patient's lifestyle and what they want out of their vision. Generally, there's a few categories of lens technologies available. The first would be lenses that correct your distance vision as best we can. And I say to my patients, you've got about an 85 to 90% chance that then you may not need spectacles for your distance, but you will need spectacles automatically after the surgery for anything from your desktop computer range inwards. So we call that near vision spectacles, not readers, near vision spectacles. So anything from desktop through to reading, the patient will then need, okay? Some patients who are perhaps are artists or painters and their entire world and life exists at a 50 to 60 centimeter range say, listen, to me, I don't want to wear specs for that range, but and I don't mind putting on spectacles for going outside. We can target you with the same lens technology to just have that set distance. But there are very few people that operate at 90% of their day at that distance. So we often have a really candid discussion as to the different visual ranges that are important to them. And we end up targeting often something called blended vision. Now, blended vision is where we take the dominant eye, the brain's dominant eye, and allow it to see distance and desktop range, and then the non-dominant eye to see desktop range and computer. And there are really great technologies now available which work on what's called the zoom corridor or extended depth of focus, EDOF or EDOF lenses, which can improve the functional range of vision, essentially getting you to a point where you're spectacle independent broadly. It is very important, however, that one discusses the phases that the brain needs to go through to adapt to this lens technology. And lastly, we have a technology called trifocal technology, and some lenses combine now trifocal with extended depth of field technology. Now, most people panic and say, hang on, if it's a trifocal, does that mean that there's a progressive zone in the lens? Do I have to look up and down like I use my multifocal spectacles to look at the computer or look at a book or look in the distance? No, it doesn't work like that. These lenses have very specific set focal lengths. So you're in focus at 40 centimeters, you're in focus at 60 centimeters at the desktop, and you're in focus at distance. Once again, there are compromises to this these forms of technology, and it's vital to sit down and have the discussion with your patient about what technologies have what compromises and where is the patient prepared to compromise in their lifestyle, what's going to work out best for their chosen tasks and their occupation. And so, you know, we often have like a flow diagram where we sit and work out with the patient. That's why history is so important, taking into account what they do. And that's where we talked about or touched on that Vivior lifestyle monitor a few episodes ago, where if a patient is uncertain, we can actually fit this artificial intelligence monitor to their spectacles. They go home for 4 or 5 days and they collect visual data for us to actually show us how much time are they spending reading, how much time are they spending at the computer, and how much time are they spending distance. We graph it for them. We can then show them. It gives them an objective and subjective reading of their data that they're needing on a day-to-day basis. And it makes their decision to choose a specific lens for their lifestyle a lot easier. And they're therefore prepared to maybe compromise on certain aspects of those technologies because they know that it's going to improve their functionality so much more.
That's so fantastic. Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen. That was Dr. Dylan Joseph. That's where you're supposed to insert an applause here somewhere now. Dr. Joseph, how do we get in touch with you?
Ian, our website is www.drdylanjoseph.com. You can contact our offices directly and speak to Mariska on 044-150-0085. Or her email address is info@drdylanjoseph.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook, and as mentioned earlier, on YouTube, where we have a whole bunch of educational videos for you.
Oh, that's nice. I'm definitely going to go and check out your YouTube channel. Looking forward to that. Doctor, thank you so much once again for a very interesting Medical Monday. Looking forward to next week.
Absolute pleasure, Jan. Have a great one.